Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Most busy professionals say they don't have time to create content, but what if the fastest way to build trust, clarify your message, and stay top of mind was not another marketing funnel, but a simple conversation? By the end of this episode, you'll learn how busy professionals and business owners can quickly and easily create and share podcasts, use AI to streamline the process, and turn conversations into credibility, relationships, and opportunity. Today, I'm joined by Mitch Jackson, an award-winning California trial lawyer, author, speaker, and longtime voice at the intersection of law, technology, AI, privacy, and communication. Mitch has tried more than 70 cases to verdict with a 95.7% win rate, built Jackson & Wilson into a nationally respected trial firm, authored 14 books, including Artificial Intelligence in Law, Privacy in America, and Leading with AI, and publishes the Uncensored Objection newsletter on Substack. Mitch, welcome to Hacks and Hobbies. I'm so excited for you to be here.
I'm excited to be here, Junaid. And, you know, you left out something. I consider you a friend. We're friends.
Yes, we are friends.
You know, I mean, we had lunch down at Dana Point Harbor together, looking at the ocean, looking at the boats, fighting the seagulls off of our lunch place. To me, that's what this is all about, is building connections, right? And if you build connections, you can build your business. And so it's a pleasure to be here today.
Man, and you're so right. And that was a fun experience. Like, on my way back, I had a crazy nosebleed. I'm like, what's going on? Maybe it's too dry. Maybe I'm not used to the California weather anymore because I've been living in Northern Virginia for so long. But Mitch, before we talk podcasting, I want to start with communication. We literally have been connected over the years through so many different platforms. And you spent decades in courtrooms where words, timing, and trust matter, right? How beautiful is that? Now, the question that comes to me is, like, how did that shape the way you think about creating content today? Because a lot of people thinking about, what should I talk about? What's going to, like, rile people up? Or what's going to get people to be on my side? How do you think about creating content outside of, you know, outside of being prepared, but being also having that context of having that, you know, insight, hey, this is something that really matters to me, and this is what needs to be talked about.
You know, it's interesting because back in the early days of social media, and Junaid, we put up our first website in 95. I've always been kind of a tech guy, right?
Yeah.
But as social media started to roll out, what we noticed, especially with the early live media platforms, whether it was podcasting or live video, is instead of 1-to-1, it was 1-to-1,000 or 1-to-10,000. Or in one show I had, it was 1-to-25,000, right? Yeah. And I realized, even though I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, I realized this is a really interesting way to connect with people, not only across the street or on the other side of town, but on the other side of the United States and the other side of the world. Yeah. And so I just dived into, you know, the entire digital communication spectrum of podcasting and live video and writing posts, which I'm doing now on Substack. But what I have learned, and I think what a lot of people do wrong, and that's why I wanted to come on your show today, is it's so much more than just creating content. You can create content all day long, but if you're not creating content that's interesting, unique, sometimes entertaining, adding value, and I'm going to share a couple of tips that allow people to do this very easily, allow me to do this easily, you're really going to be wasting your time because there's a lot of stuff going on out there.
Yes.
When I decided to become a lawyer, I was the first person in my family to go to college, much less law school. My dad, who was a cowboy, we had a ranch in Tucson. You know, are you sure you want to do this? There are a lot of lawyers out there. And I said, yeah. And I said, but, you know, there's always room at the top for another good one, right? And so that was kind of my mentality, is I'm gonna drop gloves, throw some punches, and make it happen. What I noticed in the courtrooms is that when you earn the trust of a jury, and a judge and even opposing counsel, and why don't we just say witnesses on the witness stand, good things start to happen, right? You start building rapport. You start becoming the leader in the courtroom. And that's how you win cases. That's how you get good results for your clients. Well, guess what? Social media, digital, podcasting, live video, it's no different.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if you recall, I had a best-selling book that came out back in 2017 called The Ultimate Guide to Social Media. Mm. And it was in three sections. And the reason it was such a damn good book, Junaid, I can say this, is because I only wrote three or four chapters in the book. I reached out to about 50 friends of mine who were experts in the different platforms and had them contribute chapters, right? And that's why the book was so good and so successful. Yeah. And the first part of the book had to do with the why behind social media. Why are we on these platforms? Why do you want to do a podcast? You guys got to figure that out, right? Bob Berg wrote the first chapter about the why. And we love Bob Berg, right?
Yes.
He wrote, The Go-Giver. And,
The Go-Giver,
yeah. And so the whole first section of the book has to do with the why. Why are we doing what we're doing? The second section of the book had to do with how to use the different platforms, understanding the algorithms. What works on Facebook may not work on X or Twitter back in the day. And so we did a deep dive on that. And of course, that's kind of changed over the years from how the algorithms work. But the reason I'm bringing this up is the third part of the book. The third part of the book is how to communicate, how to tell stories, how to use metaphors when sharing examples, how to pace yourself, and how to use voice inflection when you're on a podcast, when you're on audio. That's the favorite part of my book because I learned so much from communication experts from what they contributed to not only using that for my podcast, but I'm using it in court in front of a jury of 12 people who don't want to be there. They don't like lawyers. They don't want to be away from their family and friends. And so you have to figure out ways to make it be worth their while. How can I earn their trust, make my point, maybe entertain them a little bit? And so, Junaid, to answer your question, professionals need to bring into their digital efforts what's working so well for them in their professional lives and double down on communication, double down on the message, right? And so to answer your first question, that's what's working for us is taking what we do in court and turning it into our content on podcast and live videos. I learn every day. Just yesterday morning, one of my favorite nieces, I have to be careful because we have a lot of kids in the family and she's not a kid anymore. She's an adult. Messaged me, Uncle Mitch, I love that article you just did on Substack, and she's a consultant and she's gifted and she's brilliant. And she shared some ideas with me that I hadn't thought about before when communicating. And I stopped, I listened, and I'll be using some of the approaches that she thought I should be using as a trial lawyer into my content moving forward. So that's I'm so bringing cool. that up because even when we're doing something that works really, really well, and the stuff that I'm doing is working really well for me, there's always room for improvement. Right?
Yes.
And so I just wanted to share that story because even as of yesterday morning, she said something where I thought to myself, why in the world am I not already doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing it this morning with this morning's Substack.
That's so amazing. You know, like you said, you know, every single day we are learning, we're growing, we're becoming the best version of ourselves. And that only happens when we have folks like the person that you mentioned,
my niece,
your niece, right? Your niece is coming out and she's saying, "Hey, what about this?" Because here's the cool thing: when we're in the weeds, we can't see the forest for the trees. We can't see the weeds because we're like so tiny. But if somebody comes from another angle, they're like, "Hey, you missed this little part over here. Maybe mention that." And that's why it's so important to have people that are in our world.
A fresh pair of eyes.
Right? Exactly.
And you know, you want to know what she told me? Because I think it's kind of interesting. Yeah. She said, "Listen, your articles on Substack, Uncle Mitch, are fantastic." And so everyone knows. Let's just have full transparency.
Yeah.
Because I think what you choose to write about or podcast about matters. Like that really matters. If you're podcasting every day and you're not getting the results that you want and you're not bringing in new business or making the connections, whatever your goals are with your podcast, you need to take a step back and ask yourself, am I actually talking about something that people are interested in? Mm-hmm. Like, am I bringing value? And we can talk a little bit about that. But what I talk about over on Substack, it's I talk about breaking political news. And I try to share an objective take and the truth and the facts to all the noise that we see every single day on the news. And I'll leave it at that, the 30,000 foot level.
Yeah.
But what she said was, you know, Uncle Mitch, you're really sharing some really good stuff, but a couple of my friends aren't reading your content because they feel like you're lecturing them instead of having a conversation with them.
Wow.
As a lawyer, when I'm talking to a jury, okay, I'm empowering that jury to listen to the evidence, to apply the facts, and hopefully to rule in my client's favor. I'm asking open-ended questions. I'm not telling them what to do.
Right.
I'm giving them the tools and the information to do what they already know what to do the right way.
Yeah.
And when she told me this, I thought to myself, oh my God, I actually can easily slightly pivot so that article where I wanted to just point the finger at somebody, I could write in a slightly different way where I'm simply asking questions.
Yeah.
We all know the answers to these questions, but as soon as you start letting people answer their own questions, they start understanding and buying into your message. And then guess what happens? They click the subscribe button, free or paid. They start engaging in the comments. They start reaching out to you with their questions. And that's how connections are made. And I'm not going to be spending as much time answering each question, but I wanted to lay a good foundation to kind of what brought us here today and my comments about yesterday, because it has already made a huge difference in some of the, you know, on Substack, you can see, you know, when you post an article on Substack or you post a podcast on Substack, which is my favorite platform right now, just so you know and your listeners know.
That's what Gary Vee says. It's the hottest one to watch right now because it's focused on text. It's focused on simplicity, right? It's giving the power back to people. It's got built-in subscription-ship model, right?
Unbelievable.
It was all unbelievable. You're not really, like the platform's not selling you. You're selling yourself.
If you're selling the right content.
If you're selling
the right
content. Exactly.
I really want to come back to that because what I found is I have always been an early user of the digital platforms, even in court, using PowerPoint before PowerPoint was even a thing. Junaid, I'm setting up a laptop during a morning break. We picked our jury, had a morning break. That's when the jurors can go out and use the bathroom, have a cup of coffee. And while they're doing that, I'm setting up my laptop, this is in the late 80s, to do what we would now think of as a PowerPoint presentation, right? The judge is on the bench fiddling around with some paperwork. Mr. Jackson, what is that? Well, this is a laptop. Well, what are you going to do with that? And I explained it. He goes, you're not using that in my courtroom. Like, this is back in the late 80s, right? Fast forward to today, if you walk into a courtroom and you're not using technology, everyone's going to think there's something wrong with you.
Right.
But the point is using this stuff early is what kind of allowed me to figure out some of the things that we're talking about. And what I noticed is even with my background experience, the credibility I bring to the table as a lawyer, the way I approach some of the issues, traditional social media and all the platforms that you and I are connected on and we've met on and done things on, I really wasn't jumping out and becoming very well known, even despite my daily use of these platforms. I had some advantages. I've got the finance to help drive some of the content. I've got the connections and people I can interview, but I still wasn't really kicking in. I was just another face telling professionals how they can market their businesses. When we flew to Amsterdam with the family after the 2024 election, on the flight over with the family, I told my family, I said, I'm kind of done with social. I'm done with this. I just don't need this nonsense anymore because I was really hammering in my political recommendations and I just don't think it made a difference. And my daughter said, Dad, you know, all my friends, you know, and my son too, they're really counting on your voice on these platforms. It's making a difference, right?
Yeah.
And long story short, they convinced me to jump back on when I came back, which I did. But Junaid, I did it differently. Instead of just doing what I was doing, I pivoted over to Substack and posted my first written post February 14th, 2025. Zero followers, okay?
Amazing.
Fast forward to today. You know, huge community, 15, 16,000 people. A lot of those are paid subscribers. Yeah. I offer 99% of my stuff's free content, but it's because of the platform. And because I'm involved over there, I've been able to expand my brand from local to global with a community of decision makers and leaders who feel the same way I do when it comes to politics. And that's huge. You want to be around people in a community that you enjoy being around.
Agreed.
Right? 100%. And you know, and you've seen my shows. We've done shows with Katie Couric. I've done shows with Ty Cobb, former special counsel for the White House in Trump 1, who's now, you know, like me, rolling up his sleeves and doing everything he can to hold this wrongdoer accountable. And we've got a lot of other shows coming up, and they're podcasts and they're videos. And, you know, one easy way professionals can tap into the power of podcasting is when you do an article or show over on Substack, you have the ability to convert that into an audio podcast.
Yes.
And people like to read. Some people like to watch a video. Some people like me, I like listening to audios when I'm out on a run or when I'm doing a paddle around the island. So to your point, one of the features I like about Substack is it really does easily allow you to either immediately click and create a podcast episode or take what you've done and download it so that you can generate a podcast episode and then re-upload it to a Substack existing post or new post and then distribute it to your community. At the same time, you can take that content and you can share it in what's called a Substack note, which is different than a post. And that note gets exposed to a whole different set of people that are either following you or sharing your content. So it allows you different ways to share your podcast audio with different potential audiences. Yeah. And all I can tell you is I've seen more growth on Substack for me over the last year and a half than over the last 20 years of using all the other social media platforms. Yeah. It's just been, and it's because it's the content and it's the other things that we're going to be talking about today during the show.
100%. What I'm hearing a lot is that you realized that digital communication was becoming part of your modern professional credibility, and how the intended audience was no longer everybody. It's a very specific set of people, and that's the thing, right? When people say, "Oh my God, I can't niche down because I'm going to miss out on these other folks," they're kidding themselves, because If your product is for everybody, then it's for nobody.
So
right, because
you're absolutely right.
Because yes, I can say toilets are for everybody, of course, but they fit in a very niche part of your house. It's not in everywhere, right? It's in the toilet, the commode. Belongs in a bathroom, in a toilet room. It's very specific.
Are you listening to my microphone? Is my microphone on? Because you know what I'm doing after this show today?
No,
I'm in charge of updating the internal mechanisms of our three or four toilets in our house. That's my job today, everyone. that's just wild that you would bring that up as an example.
Because it's the... You've got to be very specific on who you're serving and what you're talking about. And what I move on to the next section is because a lot, and this is about the podcast. This is the thing that you already mentioned, right? Podcasting, what podcasting does. Because a lot of people think podcasting is about entertaining. And yes, we've had a ton of podcasts that are entertaining. Like the entire reason podcasts got on the map was the true crime podcast Serial and other entertainment podcasts, but for But for professionals like you and I, it's really about the trust that you get to build.
I wish I was more entertaining. I wish I could incorporate singing and joke telling into my podcast, right. But it's just not my strength, right? If it was your strength, I'd say double down and lean into it. You can bring all that into your shows. But I think for me, and this is something I really want to get across to everybody, is with traditional social media, the reason I was invited twice to speak on stage at the Tony Robbins Business Mastery by my dear friend, David Merriman Scott, who's just, you know, a gifted social media expert, had to do with how my firm is using newsjacking to create content. For those of you that don't know newsjacking, because it's relevant to today's episode, is when there's breaking news, if you're able to properly and effectively immediately jump on and comment with your unique perspective based upon what you do for a living on that breaking news, reporters and networks and algorithms are going to pick it up and share it out. And we've been doing this for probably 15, 16, 17 years or longer at the law firm. And so when there's a legal news, I'll immediately, you know, do a podcast or a video or a post, depending on where I am and what I'm doing on that topic. And it's huge. I get people reaching out to me. Hey, Mitch, we just saw your post on this morning. This just happened. Junaid. I was telling Junaid before we went live, there was a big case coming out of Florida. All of you have heard about the big Department of Justice, IRS, Trump slush fund that was set up. And to make a very long story short, the judge this morning ruled it as being basically illegal. She's reporting all the lawyers to their local state bars, and you're not going to hear the end of it. It's a big news story. Junaid, I posted about it on Substack and my other platforms, and someone from ABC News reached out and asked if I wanted to be on their show to talk about it. I had to say no, because I had prior commitments with you. Mm-hmm. But this is how it works. And so David had me talk about this at Tony Robbins and Business Mastery, everyone. We're talking 2,000 to 3,000 people in the audience. Yeah. I'm probably one of the few lawyers in the room. That's where you want to be if you're a lawyer, right? So what I've noticed, though, is fast forward to today with podcasting, with Substack, that's exactly what I've been doing. When the news breaks, I'm writing about it. I'm podcasting about it. I'm doing a live video. When the Supreme Court was coming down on birthright citizenship, which was a huge case, right? 2 weeks ago, Ty Cobb and I planned around it. We were waiting for the decision to come down, and we had an agreement that when that decision came down, other than on Monday, because he had some things to do with his grandkids, we're going to jump on right after the decision dropped and talk about it in a live video stream. We knew America, at least our part of America, our communities wanted to hear about this. And so that's what happened. We planned it out. The decision dropped. We ran it through our AIs for quick summaries, which will save you a lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went on the air and we talked about it. And he's a legitimate expert on that. I'm not. I'm just a trial lawyer that knows how to ask questions. Mm. And Ty carried the ball and did a great job. But it was planned out. And the reason it was so successful was because we weren't talking about something that happened 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. We were talking about something that happened 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And people pick up on that. And you then take that content. In this case, we went live on StreamYard, which I know you're familiar with, and broadcasted to, you know, most of the major platforms. We also pushed it to Substack. We then took that audio and video and converted it into a written post and then an audio podcast episode.
There you go.
Probably not up to Junaid standards. Okay. It's not like your typical podcast, but it was the audio of what we talked about. Yeah. And we made the link available in the written blog post itself, so people could read it, click and listen, or click and watch. And then we took pieces of that content, and we've been, when I say we, my team and I have been sprinkling it across social, posting back over to the original Substack article and Substack related notes. You mentioned Substack's services is doing a couple of cool things, and they do. Substack behind the scenes, depending on the settings that you allow for, will notify your, you know, free subscribers that there's a special paid article out there that you've just made available to them. yeah. for the next week, for example, nice. And that they can have access to it. And there's about 10 different things that Substack does behind the scenes that I don't even think about that just keeps the community involved and engaged. And Junaid, last Monday, they rolled out what are called perks, P-E-R-K-S, free bonuses you can give your paid subscribers if they sign up.
Nice.
We immediately jumped on these perks. In other words, if you sign up for the Substack, and this is what everybody should be doing, that's creating podcast episodes on Substack or repurposing their podcast episodes on the Substack platform.
Yeah.
Create perks for different parts of your podcast, for behind the scenes information that your subscribers can click and watch, special exclusive bonus content. The way it's set up, and this is the smart part, is you can set it up where it's linked to the top of your Substack webpage, and even a free subscriber can click, hit the bold description and see exactly what that perk is, and they can subscribe right from that new perk.
Nice.
What we did, Junaid, is, you know, I love issues involving technology, legal issues involving technology, AI, Web3, metaverse, and privacy. And about, I don't know, 5 months ago, I wrote this book, Privacy in America.
Nice.
And it's really, really good. I mean, it covers, you know, most people aren't aware that about 740 times a day, your phone, this bad boy right here,
yeah,
I'm not going to turn it around, is transmitting where you're located and other personal data, not only to your phone provider, but to third-party services, about 740 times a day. People don't realize that. So what we did is, in one of the perks for our Substack, if you sign up, you get immediate free access to this 251-page, 21-chapter book that you can download and read immediately, because I want people to have access to this information.
Yeah.
We did the same thing with a fact check prompt, where if somebody reads a political story or sees a website and they have the URL, they can drop it into a special prompt that we use at the law firm. And that prompt, within about 15 seconds, will be able to tell somebody, is this a true story? Is it exaggerated? Is it being presented out of context?
Nice.
And we also have a mini report for free subscribers. There's a 10-page free report that we put together using AI that basically takes 21 chapters and consolidates it down to 10 pages of really good content that free subscribers can use to help protect their privacy.
Nice.
Now with these new perks at Substack, it allows free and premium subscribers to have access to all this. I'm bringing it up because last Monday, Junaid, when we first started using the brand new perks, maybe it was Tuesday, we had more new subscribers that day than over the last year and a half. I mean, in one day, I've had a lot of subscribers over the last year and a half, but in one day, it was just mind blowing. And so people, you know, and so that approach works. And so if you're doing podcasts, think about what kind of perks can I provide my podcast listeners over on my Substack platform to do the things that Mitch just talked about.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a really strong way to gain an unfair advantage over your competition.
You're 100% there. And I love the cutting edge information you're sharing around Substack and what it can do for folks. I set up my Substack, but I have not activated it. So I need to work on mine as well. Now, I've got a core question for you. Why should busy lawyer, consultant, entrepreneur, or business owner consider podcasting when they already have too much on their plate?
Well, when they have too much on their plate, what is their plate serving up? What is it on their plate that's benefiting them? Do they have so much on their plate that they've got everything they want in life when it comes to building their practice, the types of clients they're representing? Is their plate full with the type of food that they want on that plate? And if it is, don't add anything else into your life. Yeah. I'm a firm believer that you don't have to, you don't want to overwhelm yourself. The quality of life is really important.
Yes.
Balance, you know, your family, your health, your hobbies, and your business or your practice. right? All of that's important. But I would suggest that anybody watching this, they're watching it for a reason. They want to improve when it comes to end of year revenue numbers or the quality of the cases that they're bringing in, or maybe adding some new products or services to, you know, the options that they're providing their customers or their clients. And one of the beautiful things about podcasting, and I think this applies to live video and writing too, is that it allows you to expand your brand, to share who you are, the essence of your humanity, who you mm-hmm. are as a human being,
yeah.
with not only people that know you, but with their family, with their friends, with their business contacts. It just allows you to grow as a human being.
Yes.
And I think when you're growing as a human being and you're adding value and people see that you're really doing this because you're trying to make a difference. For example, look, I litigate cases. I'm a private mediator. I don't represent politicians. I'm not offering legal services to political PACs to tell them what to do, right or wrong. I write on Substack because that's of interest to me. Protecting democracy is really, really important to me. Yeah. Protecting the separation of powers, sharing with people how Congress works, you know, the power of oversight, the power of the purse, the separation of powers, the different branches of government. To me, that's really, really interesting, especially when the true definition of these things is being butchered on a nightly basis by this administration. Yes. People need to understand what's going on. So for me, I just enjoy writing about this stuff and talking about it. I'm not necessarily trying to get somebody to hire me as a political consultant, right? Sure. So think about this, everybody. Why am I doing this? Well, I'm doing this because it's of interest to me. I know for a fact I'm making a difference. I'm empowering people to do this themselves, to stand tall, to be loud, to participate in protests, whatever it may be. The article we shared this morning, which I was bringing up early, it's called mm-hmm. Stop Whispering, Your Country Needs You Loud. And I was trying to tell business owners that it's okay to share how you feel about what's going on. Mm. For every customer that you think you may lose, and maybe you will lose, you'll gain 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 more who see things your way. They've been waiting for someone to speak up. They've been waiting for a leader to appear to show them how they can do this themselves through by example, right? And so that's, I think, one reason why business owners and professionals can leverage these platforms, because they can get their unique message out to a world 24/7 that otherwise wasn't available. And by the way, and you're probably too young to remember this, but back in the day, Junaid, if I wanted someone on the East Coast to know what I was doing, I either had to send a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Facsimiles came along. We were one of the first law firms to use faxes. Send a fax. Somehow get that message over to the other side of the country. That's the way it used to be. And I remember how hard it was. Mm-hmm. I remember how expensive it was to hop on a plane and fly to New York to meet with somebody. And so now we can do this with the wink of an eye, with a smile, with a couple of taps and clicks, we're That's communicating right. with the world. So it's also another way to do the things that you should be doing in business, building relationships, making connections, adding value, answering questions, without the hassle that existed 40 or 50 years ago.
Yes.
Right? So why wouldn't you want to do this?
Why would you want to do it? In fact, we are in two separate time zones, totally different courts. Coasts, East Coast and West Coast connecting because we have these platforms, because we have these channels available. And here's the best part too, Mitch, that people don't realize. Podcasting, posting content on social media is free. Back in the days when people wanted to share a message, they had to pay to run an ad on television. Yep. Or be invited to be a guest on the show. Now we all own this power to create content and share our vision to the world.
But just because you can doesn't mean you should, or it's if you right. do, it's going to be successful. And that's the point I wanted to drill home today is,
yes.
you know, people really need to focus on if you decide you want to put yourself out there, you reach out to Junaid to help him do your podcast, whatever it may be, you know, what's your message? What are you trying to get across?
Yes.
Do a deep dive. And I would suggest, Junaid, is I would suggest people fire up their favorite AI. I just got back from Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. I was the opening keynote at the Rhode Island Bar Association.
Nice.
We had about 600 or 700 lawyers in the room. And my message had to do with lawyers using artificial intelligence and blending human intelligence with artificial intelligence,
yes.
right? In other words, when you're a human and you walk into a courtroom or a deposition room, you're reading the room. I'm looking at Junaid's expression. Is he happy? Does he want to be there? Does he have that look of distrust on his face towards me? You kind of read the room, right? That's something
yeah.
humans do really well. But AI allows you to really do a deep dive quickly. What are the questions? What are the issues? What are, you know, people thinking about? And maybe hop on your favorite AI and do a deep dive. This is what I do for a living. These are the, you know, 10 issues I can think of today mm-hmm. in today's world with respect to the product that I'm selling to clients. This is the need that I'm helping them satisfy. I'm helping
yeah.
them fix. What am I missing here? Like what's going on in today's world, whether it's business decisions, technology, that I'm not, maybe I'm not seeing, and do a deep dive and talk about it with your AI and have your AI help you generate ideas for your podcast,
mm-hmm.
you know, and once it generates something that's of interest to you, then I want you to come back and ask it, listen, I want to do my due diligence. Are you sure this is the best suggestion you can make for me right now? I
yeah.
want you to reevaluate what you just told me and see what it says, because here's what AI will do. Let's just say I've got so much going on in my life right now that I don't have time for another podcast, right? If
yeah.
I ask AI, hey, I'm thinking about doing a podcast on trial advocacy. I want to help young trial lawyers be better trial lawyers, you know, in front of a jury or in front of a judge. What do you mm-hmm. think about that?
Yeah.
AI is going to go, Mitch, that's a great idea.
Yes.
You should absolutely do that. That podcast would kill. And by the way, here's your schedule for the next 9
yes.
months. Here's what you want to talk, right? What it doesn't know is that I don't have time to do any of that. And frankly, I don't have the interest to do any of that.
Yeah.
So that's why you want to come back with follow-up prompts. Okay, that's interesting, but here's the other 20 things I'm already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Reevaluate your last response and let me know if
exactly.
this is still such a good idea. And so I think once you use AI to help you come up with some podcasting ideas and you drill down using the approaches that we talked about, you might actually come across something that nobody else is doing.
Yeah.
Or if they are doing it, they're not doing it the right way, right? There's a difference between doing
there
something
is.
Or doing something and being effective. For
yes.
example, Junaid, for example, there's a lawyer who I just wrote about this morning, Liz Oyer. Liz Oyer is the former pardon attorney for the Department of Justice. And she was
mm-hmm.
the one for years that would decide whether or not somebody should get a pardon. When Todd Blanche and his team came in 2 days after he became the acting attorney general, his team reached out to Liz and said, hey, listen, we need you to do a favor for the president. His
mm-hmm.
buddy, Mel Gibson, whose permit to carry a gun was revoked because of that abuse conviction that he was found guilty on with his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
He was found guilty of it. Beating her up, knocking her teeth out, et cetera, and threatening her with a loaded firearm, something like that, right? You guys can read the reports. So his license to carry a weapon was revoked. Well, he's a buddy of Trump's. Trump reached out to Blanche or someone in Blanche's office, and they wanted to give Mel Gibson his license back. When they approached Liz, she said, I can't do that. We have a process. We have to look at the public safety,
mm-hmm.
something like 50% of domestic violence victims are victims of their significant other. And when weapons are involved, especially guns, that rate goes higher. So I can't do that.
Yeah.
2 days later, she was fired. She was fired for doing her job, right? And so I wrote a post about that. But here's somebody that didn't have an audience 2 years ago, Junaid. This
mm-hmm.
is why I'm bringing this up.
Yeah.
Other than lawyers, not too many people knew who Liz Oyer was. Once she was fired, she started sharing her story on social in short video clips, YouTube shorts, short little podcast, Substack, and all the other platforms. And she's just blowing it up. Like, she is doing interesting tips, legal tips, on behind the scenes of what's going on right now, literally in 3 to 4 minute clips.
Wow.
And she's sharing that clip on TikTok, on Instagram. They're ripping the audio and doing a podcast. She's got her own podcast, Junaid, that she just started 2 weeks ago. She is now a legend when it comes to My Little World. And this is somebody that wasn't even on social a year ago, everybody. So the reason she's so successful is because of the content that she's creating and how she's sharing it. Mm. She has her own unique personality. As to how, if you watch her videos, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And there isn't a reason why every single person watching this can't do that also in their own unique way. So that's the perfect example of somebody that maybe either didn't have success in the past or just wants to get started. You know, people are getting started every single day and they're having a lot of success with it because they're owning their content. They're being a little bit different and they're bringing a message that most people haven't heard before.
I think what you're saying, Mitch, is that nobody starts at zero, right? Nobody's literally starting at zero. Sure, you might start with zero follower count, but you have years of expertise, years of experience that you can bring onto the world. When I started my podcast, I had no idea how to get anything started, right? So I was like, I'm just going to document my current happening, what's happening with me right now. I'm learning how to become a beekeeper. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And in that experience, gates in your brain start opening up. That's why it's so important to have people around us who are already doing the thing so that they can tell us, hey, you can look at it from this perspective. And when a huge thing would happen to Miss Aurier? No.
Liz Oyer.
Liz Oyer. What happened with her, it's something it's substantial, right? Those stories people are going to relate to, not just relate to, but they're also going to be like, wait, this is serious. Like, I don't have those kind of connections to get reinstated, right? Or getting somebody fired, which is kind of insane. But I think that's what's important. The underlying is that we all have stories. We all have things that we can help others with. And like Zig Ziglar said, you know, if you want anything, if you want everything in the world, just help enough people get what they want. And by educating,
give. And eventually, if you need something, you can ask, right? Like when I wanted people to help promote my book, at that point in time, I did ask. And I hadn't asked for anything in about a year. And here's the thing, though. Storytelling is huge. You brought up storytelling, right? Storytelling is huge. Mm-hmm. Telling a good story the right way is even more important.
It's more important.
And I really want everyone, you know, write that down. You have to learn how to tell a good story. It's not hard. If you don't know how to tell a good story, ask your AI, show me and tell me how to write a good story. For example, one of the approaches we use is called a hero's journey. And I use this when I'm trying a case. And it's an approach where you've got somebody where something happened to them. In my case, it's usually my client. And you talk about their path, the stumbles, the speed bumps, the hiccups. Something happens, adversity kicks in. And but they rise above it. And, you know, whether it's through the help of somebody else or through a way they think about something, they fix a problem, and they become the hero to their family, all right, whatever it may be. There's an approach there. There's steps. Learn how to incorporate these steps into your storytelling. And if you have a story that you want to tell, but you're not sure how to do it, put it into your AI and say, listen, rewrite this in my voice, in my tone, as a draft that I can look at, using 3 different popular storytelling techniques. This is my audience. This is my goal. This is the length of the story that I'll be telling during my podcast. And then see what it gives you. And it's going to share with you the same thing you were going to be saying, but in a more effective way. And then take that And, you know, when you're speaking into a podcast microphone, obviously use your own voice, go about it your own way, but it'll be more effective than if you just try to do it without any formal training with telling a story. And there's nothing wrong with learning how to tell a good story. We're not born to be good storytellers. It's something that you learn. And my five-step approach when I'm, if you were to ask me a question and we're just winging it right now, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to answer your question with an answer, a solution, but I don't just want to say, you know what, Junaid, I know what the answer to that question is. Let me tell you what it is. I just went from step one of my process to step five. There's a five-step process. And what you want to do is learn this five-step process. When somebody asks you something during a podcast interview, or if you're trying to get your point across, the first thing you want to do is you want to address or state the problem. Junaid, that's getting people to listen to your podcast. That's a really big problem right now, right? It's like there's a lot of people out there creating podcasts. Everybody's, mm-hmm. Dropping new episodes. And so how do you get people to listen to your podcast? Now, I could jump to number five, step five, and tell you the answer. Yeah. But I want to walk your audience through my five steps real quick. The first step is you address the question, how do you get people to listen to your podcast? The second step is you agitate the problem. Well, if you don't figure this out, you could be podcasting every day for a year and no one's going to listen. I mean, you're wasting a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of effort, right? So it's a big problem. Number three, though, you offer a clear and concise solution. What's your solution? You do the things that we just talked about. You focus on a niche topic. You tell stories. You use metaphors. You use the things that we talked about to create your podcast. That's your solution. Number four, how does your solution apply to your target market, your audience, right? Your limited audience. If you make shoes or sell donuts for a living, mm-hmm. how does your podcast on how to create the perfect donut apply to your audience? And number five, some kind of call to action. Subscribe to my podcast, download, enjoy the free perks now available over on my podcast, Substack, Donut website, whatever it may be. I do this in court. When a juror asks me a question, when we're picking a jury, I'll in my mind kind of go through that five steps because it does really emphasize that final solution that you're giving. It has more of an impact on the listener.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to storytelling, learn how to tell a good story, learn this five-step process, you'll be ahead of 95% of your business competitors if you do this, and it's only going to take you a day or two to figure it out.
Man, that's so powerful. And having that five-step process also sets your mind to say, hey, I'm delivering this outcome for my listeners, and they are mm-hmm. going to be in for the ride because you're keeping them hooked. You're keeping them engaged in the conversation as you're telling that story, as you're sharing those metaphors, because now it's more relatable, like the toilet story that we talked about earlier.
And metaphors are something that probably would work really well with audio podcasts because they can't, mm-hmm. If it's an audio podcast. Junaid, let me ask you a question. When you talk about podcasts, are you talking about audio only or are you talking about video podcast also?
I'm mostly talking about audio only because.
Audio. Okay.
I'm not.
Because when I think of some podcast, I don't want to mention names, but there's an audio podcast and then a video version of it with a studio, right?
Yeah.
So in an audio podcast, people are listening to your voice. They're mm-hmm. listening to you. Like I said, voice inflection, the speed at which you speak. And I will tell you that metaphors are a trial lawyer's secret weapon. Yeah. I had a case where it had to do with an ambulance company that failed to properly restrain a young man on a non-emergency transport between Hospital A and Hospital B. Mm-hmm. About halfway to Hospital B, he untied himself, jumped out of the back of the ambulance, got hit by a truck and was killed on the freeway. Very sad case. This kid was a very well-known athlete in the county that I live. And it's just a very sad case. Hmm. But what we found out was that the transport ambulance didn't properly restrain him with what are called soft restraints. And while they hadn't had too many other patients untie themselves during transport, it had happened in the past. And I was trying to think of a way to really convince my jury at the end of the trial, 2-week trial, how can I really make my point? Like, this is just a dangerous situation. Just because it really only it had happened once or twice over a 20-year period, it's still dangerous, right? So I reached out to Ann Miller, who has written a couple of books about metaphors. Mm-hmm. And she's awesome, you guys. If anyone wants to reach out to Ann, just Google Ann Miller metaphors and you'll find her website. But I shared with her my thoughts, what the evidence showed. And she gave me a metaphor where this ambulance company was playing Russian roulette, spinning the wheel with my client's life that day. And in this case, the bullet ended up in the chamber. And when they pulled the trigger, we all saw what happened. The Russian roulette metaphor is, the jurors told me afterwards, because we can speak to our jurors after a case out in the hallway. They said, Mitch, that's what brought this case home. We're all trying to wrap it together for us. But that metaphor was key. And it was because of Anne. She's the one that shared it with me. And I think metaphors during an audio podcast will do the same thing. People, you know, when Junaid reached out to Mitch, and while he thought, he gently tapped him on the side of the head. To Mitch, it was like getting hit with a bag full of bricks. It knocked him sideways. Like, metaphors make a difference. And so I would suggest anyone podcasting, spend a couple of minutes each day learning new metaphors and how to present metaphors. And if you have a topic you're talking about, ask AI to help you come up with metaphors to make your point on that particular topic. Be huge.
That is
right.
If y'all didn't pay attention to the entire episode, go get that metaphors book.
She's so good.
Ann Miller.
I love her. Yeah. Or message me and I'll shoot the link over to you guys.
Yeah, message Mitch over there and then he'll get it over to you. Mitch, this has been so much fun. I know we're on the 50-minute mark. Last question. Now, you write and speak extensively about AI, and you also mentioned how professionals should use AI to create and share podcasts without losing their voice. Or maybe you didn't. So how should professionals use AI to create and share podcasts without losing their own voice?
I think what you need to do is use AI as the way we use it is as an expert investigator, as someone that does due diligence in research and analysis, as somebody that helps flush out what it is I might want to talk about. And real quick, before I forget, Substack has an audio version of the written post that you make, everybody. So if you post to Substack, at the top of the website on your phone is a play, and it'll actually play the audio, much like a podcast, of your written transcript. And
I've done that. I've done with it with your Substack articles before, but it's not your voice.
It's not my voice, and it's not perfect. But if I'm out on a paddle, I'm going to listen to it.
Just listen,
because I need to digest a certain article, and I don't have time. Yeah. That's my moment. And if you don't provide it to me in that way, I'm not going to listen to it. It's going to be out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. Coming back to AI, what we're doing is we're using it to explore ideas, to help us flush out different arguments, to help us rewrite a paragraph in a way that incorporates a metaphor that wasn't there before, and in a way that complements maybe something that just happened, a breaking news story, into the article. One of the things that we're doing is when I'm a private mediator, Junaid, in a case, we're on a Zoom just like this.
Yeah.
And the parties are in private rooms. Okay. Sometimes you'll reach a point where you're at what we call as an impasse. There's no more conversation. We haven't been able to reach a settlement, whatever the issue may be. And I'll tell the parties, listen, everybody, let's take a 10-minute break. Grab a cup of coffee, your favorite beverage, use the bathroom. We'll circle back in 10 minutes. I'll pop over to another tab. In that other tab, and right now, the law firm AI that we're using is kind of premised around Claude. That's just what we're using, Claude Cowork and some other things. Mm-hmm. But what we do is I'll pop over to a tab, and in that tab, I will say, listen, we're stuck on this number or we're stuck on this approach. Give me five open-ended questions that I can come back into my Zoom mediation and ask Junaid and his client to keep the conversation going. I've already imported the briefs of the parties into that particular folder. Yeah. I've already shared my thoughts on what the issues of the case are. And here's something else, Junaid, that your audience can do. I've shared a personality profile on the players involved in the decision-making process, whether it's a lawyer or one of the parties to my mediation, based upon their public information on LinkedIn. Are they the type of person that likes to have long conversations, or do they want short yes and no conversations? You know, you can run a prompt on Claude or on OpenAI or Perplexity in the sidebar, and it will actually analyze somebody's profile. Just ask AI to create a prompt for you that will do this for you. And anyway, I'm using this information to come back and have the conversation continue, or maybe even suggest a new alternative resolution that we hadn't even talked about or thought about. So we're using AI in that way. And I would suggest that anybody, regardless of what you're doing, whatever your product or service is, keep a folder, keep a Google Drive folder, for example, of your ideas, of your articles, of the comments and questions that you get from your clients. Everything that has to do with your products or services, your industry, your profession. And you can use AI to look at a breaking news story, something that's just happened that might directly or indirectly affect your industry, and then ask your AI, based upon your years of content in this folder, based upon this current news story, what would be an interesting podcast episode to talk about?
Wow.
Combining this new development with existing issues, concerns, or solutions, and you'll come up with a new talking points for a new podcast episode that nobody else has thought about that you can probably get out within an hour or two. It's going to add value to your listeners. It's going to be something you can share across your social media communities that nobody else is sharing. And it's going to be presented in a new and different way because you'll be incorporating all the different approaches that Junaid and I have been talking about today into this episode. So that's how we're using AI to kind of raise the bar, be better, be faster, be more efficient, while at the same time still maximizing the human interaction with the final product.
And that's the power of AI. And what you're saying, Mitch, is context is everything, right? Not content, context, right? You're giving the AI the context of the conversation, the context of the happening, the context of the profile, like everybody who's involved. And that's what years of experience brings for you and I, right? We have experience in UX. Like, I have experience in UX. So I already have the context of, hey, they're trying to build a site for a mobile phone. This is what they want solution. You know, it's not going to give you an entire full-on web page that's designated for a desktop. So you're going to take that context, that constraint into mind, and that's what you're giving AI. And I think that's a really powerful way to use it. And if people are still just asking AI to, hey, generate for me, blah, 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 they're way behind. So I love that example. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now, let's land this with the professional who knows that they should be more visible but keeps delaying. Forget that part. Oh, okay. I'm going to have to edit it.
No worries.
Yeah. So, Mitch, thank you so much. Now, for the busy professional or business owner who says, I know I should be creating content, but I don't have time, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, I would be honest with them. If you're going to create content the right way, it does take time and effort.
Yes.
Right? It does. Unless you've got a crew like Gary Vee following you around, doing all the filming and all the editing. And by the way, everybody, you know, my son Garrett was at Vayner for 2 years in the LA office. I know Gary, And you know, that's one way of going about it, right? If I was a billionaire, that's what I'd be doing. It'd be awesome. having said that, what I would suggest is right now, understand how the new algorithms are working. Okay. Right now, it has more to do with you connecting with other people that share the same interest,
mm-hmm.
share the same hobbies, passions, needs, desires, for you to end up in their attention span.
Yes.
And so you have to understand everything we've talked about. You want to create this content in a way where you're adding value, but you're also sharing it with the right people. Yes. And this may mean you might need to start a new channel. Mm-hmm. You might need to start 5 or 10 new channels. It's okay to do that. The rules have changed on social media from the way they used to be. You can start a brand new channel like Liz did. We talked about her earlier, everybody. So if you're jumping in late, go back to the middle of the conversation. And you can start a brand new channel, and literally within a week, if you're putting out good content like we've talked about, it will be doing what you want it to do. It'll take off, whether it's the views, the engagement. It's not the way it used to be.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, what I would do is I would just take a deep breath and say, okay, what do I enjoy doing? Do I enjoy writing? Do I enjoy podcasting? Do I enjoy creating video? Do I enjoy doing all three? I would pick the one avenue that you enjoy doing. Okay. And I would start with that so that it's not overwhelming. And if it's podcasting, I would start with just the basic podcasting items that Junaid, you can recommend to your audience, but as basic as you can get so that you are creating audio content in the way that we've discussed on breaking news, on new trends, on things that are happening. You get up in the morning, and if you are in the tire business, you manufacture tires or you install tires on cars, what I would do is I would have my filters set up so that each morning, every story that broke about new tire technology, different tires for different types of vehicles, tires that are dependent upon different weather or driving conditions, whatever the issues are in your industry, I would be monitoring all of those things and each day trying to create a new post that's quick and to the point, 3 to 5 minutes long, on that particular breaking story. And I wouldn't worry about taking it and doing all the other things we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, converting it to video and slide decks.
Simplified.
All that stuff, which is super cool.
Yeah.
But you don't need to do all that. What you need to do is you need to start. You need to start the right way and you need to be consistent. So if you can do those three things with one type of platform, once again, you're going to be ahead of everyone else. I think you'll be enjoying the process, which is super important because people can pick up in the tone of your voice whether you enjoy what you're doing. Like, that's one of my strong points. I absolutely enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Even after 40 years of practicing law, I still enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to meet many lawyers today that will tell you that. After 10 years, they're done. They're fed up. I can't deal. I just love what I'm doing. I like helping people. And so I think that plays into what you're doing. So pick one medium, keep it simple, be consistent, be unique, be a little bit different. And that's how I would start.
Man, I love that, Mitch. Thank you so much for that very specific, very easy to follow advice. It's almost like if somebody wants to run a marathon, they're not going to run the marathon tomorrow. You've got to put your shoes on. You got to get out there. You got to get those muscles trained. You got to do the reps, right? You got to do the reps.
Yeah. You got to take one step at a time.
One step at a time, simple reps. Thank you so much, Mitch. This has been so much fun. Where should people go to learn more about your work, your books, your legal and AI insights, and your newsletter?
I say, you know, jump over to Substack, everybody. My website is mitch-jackson.com, everyone. But jump over to Substack. My handle over on Substack is Mitch the Lawyer. So it's mitchthelawyer.substack.com. I will see you there. And Junaid, next time you are here in Southern California, let's do breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yes, let's do it. Mitch, thank you again for this conversation. You reminded us that podcasting doesn't have to be complicated. At its best, it's simply the way to think out loud, serve your audience, build trust, and create conversations that matter. And to everyone listening, you've been waiting for the perfect setup, the perfect format or the perfect moment, start smaller. Start simpler. Start with one conversation. Keep showing up. Keep sharing your voice and keep turning your passions into purpose. I'll see you in the next episode. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.